It's really just an outgrowth of what happened to me. I grew up in upstate New York in Rochester, had classical violin lessons from age 3, and I started playing piano by ear not long after that. And so music was already kind of multiple for me from the beginning, because I was being trained in Western classical music, but I was also just feeling my way around, imitating stuff I heard on the radio, trying to play Michael Jackson songs and, you know, The Police and stuff like that. So I grew up listening to pop and rock and then early hip-hop. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. And then I was able to join the jazz ensemble in high school. And meanwhile, I was playing, like, solo repertoire on violin, Bach sonatas and partitas and concertos like Mendelssohn and Bruch and all that stuff, and playing in orchestras, too. So I guess there was just a lot of music around me. I played in a rock band in high school. You know, so I guess I didn't really differentiate too much. I mean, it was more like, this is how we make music in this context, and this is how we do it in this context. But it was basically, my whole life was full of music from then. I took a sort of sidetrack through the sciences, I guess you could put it that way. My undergraduate was in physics and math, and then I ended up doing a graduate degree studying the cognitive science of music. But all along, I was making music in all these different contexts, too. In the 90s, I found myself in a hip-hop band in San Francisco, and I was also studying West African drumming, and I was touring with Steve Coleman and learning about computer music and experimental music over the last 50 or 60 years. I got to crash these composition seminars at UC Berkeley with people like Jonathan Harvey, and that exposed me to the rigors of Stockhausen and Messiaen and all that. I've just been figuring out on my own from all these disparate sources how to put music together with whoever is willing to do it. And then in the last 10 or 15 years, I've been getting invitations. I mean, I'm mainly known as a jazz musician by now, but I've also been getting a lot of these invitations to collaborate with people who are better known in classical and new music circles. It's always still me, you know, and I just bring whatever I can to these situations where it becomes a kind of puzzle in a way. Or, you know, I wrote a piece for a Silk Road ensemble on Yo-Yo Ma that said that I was like Iron Schiff. It's kind of like whatever you're given, you have to deal with it and say, okay, let's make music with these people, with this set of instruments, with these constraints, you know, under this deadline and so forth. You know, it's partly also that I'm not really striving for unity as an artist. I really just trust the process to kind of bring different things out. I'm interested in transformation, you know. And so making music gives me a chance to become something.
You're here visiting as a visiting music professor, and you are giving a performance tonight with your trio. I'd love to hear more about what we'll be hearing tonight.
Well, every performance is different. I mean, this is the situation where I can really trust them, my colleagues, Marcus Gilmore on drums and Stefan Crump on bass, to make great choices as we go. And so my role, I mean, I'm playing too, but my role is partly just to set things in motion. We've been playing together for a really long time. I mean, I started playing with Stefan in 99 and with Marcus in 2002, I think. So we have a lot of repertoire together, a lot of time together. We've test-driven a lot of ideas together. We've played, I don't know, 1,000 concerts together. But what we tend to do is kind of improvise a path through our archive of repertoire and also to some creation in the moment. And how to string it all together. So we don't plan a set list, for example. We try to just sense the energy in the room and create a form that works for everybody. So I do a lot of listening to the audience, not so much to see if they like it exactly. I trust them to form their own opinions, but it's more at a almost physical level. You know, you can hear people breathing and that kind of thing. It's like when you're giving if you've ever been in front of a classroom or something, and you're speaking to a bunch of kids, for example, And you can sense that there's a certain moment when suddenly everybody seems to drift. It's not even because of anything you did exactly. It's just that it's about that time. And so then when you sense that, you realize, okay, I have to change up the energy here to just introduce some other information, some other sensations to get us through the next moment, you know? So those kinds of choices, I'm constantly making those kinds of choices. It's about how we feel on stage. It's also about the interaction in that sense, in a very primal kind of sense. I'm not trying to pander, you know. I'm just trying to make sure that I don't leave anybody behind.
The Brooklyn Writer, there's a piece that you did for the Brooklyn Writer Almanac album called Dig the Say, and it's inspired by James Brown. So I'm curious to hear more about that song.
Sure. You know, they commissioned a bunch of contemporary American artists, composers, and musicians to make works for them that were inspired by other great American artists. And I guess for me, you know, James Brown's one of my biggest inspirations. I've studied his music a lot. I've transcribed and analyzed a lot of it. Some of what motivates his music also motivates mine, I could say, in a very basic sense of just sort of the impulse, the action, the process nature of it, the groove at the center of everything. So he's been a huge inspiration for me. And I also thought, well, you know, sometimes when I'm given an assignment like that, I just think, well, what's the worst idea? What's the most incongruous or just like what sounds like a bad idea on the surface to try to write a string quartet as a tribute to James Brown? That just doesn't sound right. So it's almost so wrong that it's right. It's sometimes like that. It just in my gut, I feel like, this is exactly the wrong thing to do. That means I have to do it. You know, it was that kind of feeling where there's such a, what seems like such a deep mismatch between the logic or the aesthetic of a string quartet and James Brown's music. And then there was also the question of whether I want to try to evoke his music directly or just pay homage or something in between. So I did a little of both. You know, there are a couple of pieces of his that involve strings. The one that's probably best known is This Is a Man's World, which starts with this flourish on the string, like this sort of studio string section. So I kind of quote that a few times. But I also quote a lot of his horn lines and also had them do a bunch of rhythmic stuff that's more like the rhythm section. So it was kind of about making them coordinate to the degree that his ensembles do or did. And so they actually have to do a bunch of stomping and clapping while playing, which is almost impossible. They have to work on it for a long time because it's basically almost impossible to play.
Thanks so much for talking to me. Excited to hear your trio perform tonight.
Great. Thank you for having me.